Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time that you've given us. Lord, what a blessing to be able to meet on Monday night and to be able to hit on these topics and learn these topics biblically, scripturally, doctrinally, Lord, especially the one tonight. It's our greatest weapon we have this side of heaven, and that's praying. Paul said that we are mighty in prayer for pulling down strongholds. And man, it seems like those strongholds come moment by moment in our lives. Every time we turn around, here's another stronghold we got to pray about. And Lord, as we teach this message on prayer, how to pray tonight, I ask that you would speak to every one of us, Lord, that you would anoint this time. And Father, for those that are listening, I pray that they would take some notes to be able to ask questions later. And those who are listening here on the website, that you would see how we need to pray is taught by Jesus. So Lord, bless our time, God, as we bring it before you in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's been said, some men's prayers need to be cut short at both ends and set on fire in the middle. I love that. It's also been said, the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. Prayer is probably the greatest privilege that we have as sons and daughters of Almighty God, our Father. I mean, think about it. I mean, really let's sit in tonight to actually be able to speak to our Heavenly Father, to talk to Him. Prayer is often looked at by Christians as a way of making God give them what they want. I mean, in many religious circles, the belief is if you pray in a certain way and you follow certain steps, then God has to fulfill the order. Well, that's a carnal and fleshly view of prayer. So tonight, I want to look at how we should pray. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives us some negatives and positives to prayer. And the how to pray as he gives the pattern for prayer. So the passage we're going to study is out of the section called the Sermon on the Mount. It covers three chapters, Matthew chapters 5, 6, 7. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had thousands of people. The mountain that we went to was on the northeastern section of the Sea of Galilee. And when we stood up there and we talked, people could hear us down by the sea. It was like a megaphone. This is where Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. Awesome, beautiful place. Matthew 5:1 says, and seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. So here Jesus sees the multitudes, thousands of people. So he goes up on the mountain, and most likely it was in the area of northern Galilee where I had mentioned to you. It's the only place up there where you can talk and it's like a megaphone, everybody be able to hear you. The scripture goes on to say, and when he was seated, this is the way the rabbis would teach the people. They sat as the people stood around them to listen. I think we should practice that today where I sit and everybody stands. I like that. The word disciple means learner, follower, pupil. It's one who follows both the teacher and the teaching. So Jesus is talking to his disciples in a multitude of people, and he says in Matthew 6, verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So the Lord is now treading on some really slick territory. I mean, he's going against the hypocritical lifestyle of the religious leaders. And he just nails them in three different areas. First, in their giving, in verses 1 to 4. He said, don't be a hypocrite or sound the trumpet. It's like on TV, you watch him. Oh, so-and-so just pledged this much. Everybody's clapping and trumpets are going off. It's crazy. The second one is prayer, verses 5 to 15. It's hypocrisy to be seen of men praying in special ways using special sayings. Third, he nailed them in fasting, verses 16 to 18. He said, don't give the appearance of being on a fast in the sight of men. I mean, it's hard not to crunch your face a little bit when you're not eating for the day for 24 hours and people are looking at you, but you can do it. So I want to look at two areas here. The first area is prayer is not to be hypocritical. And of course, he was speaking of the Pharisees and the religious leaders. In verse 5, Jesus said, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. That's it. That's all they're getting. Jesus said, and when you pray, notice he didn't say, if you pray. You guys following me on this? Here he's speaking to the Jews. As soon as they opened their eyes in the morning, and when they went to bed at night, they prayed and recited Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. What makes this so interesting is when a Pharisee asked Jesus what was the greatest commandment, Jesus said in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law, the Old Testament, and the prophets, all the prophets, everything right there. That's why he said, look, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. What do you mean by that? He came to fulfill them because the law and the prophets spoke about him. They were a foreshadowing of Christ. The whole Old Testament is a foreshadowing of Christ. So these religious leaders, they thought they had it all together. They would pray three times a day, 9 a.m., 12 noon, and 3 p.m. That's what Daniel used to do. That's how he got busted in the 3 o'clock prayer when they saw him through a window praying and going against the king's order. That's why he was thrown in the lion's den. This is why Jesus begins with the negative in prayer. He says, you shall not be like the hypocrites. The word for hypocrites in the Greek means an actor playing an assumed character, like a stage player. Those who wear a mask or speak under a mask. He was referring to the religious leaders. They were hypocrites in their giving, in their prayer time, and in their fasting. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, think about this a minute. It's crazy. Here's a sinner on his way to hell coming before 100% pure and holy God, and he's coming only to make himself look good. Hypocrisy. You know, you study the scriptures and you'll find God not only hates religious fakes, the world has a real hard time with them too. They're supposed to be examples of God, but they're the opposite. I mean, they're telling people to be like God, and yet they don't do it themselves. They don't do it themselves because of the way they're living their lives. They're never going to win someone over to Christ. It's just the way it is. Jesus said, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. He's saying, look, you guys are blowing it, man. That's wrong. It's hypocrisy. Why? Because of the motive. It's speaking of the condition of the heart. They're only doing it to be seen by others. They would show up at the synagogue When they'd pray, they lift up their hands for the sole purpose of impressing people to hear them and say, man, that dude is so spiritual. He is so holy. They would stand on a street corner, on a busy street corner, 12 o'clock to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when it was the busiest. They had their mat under their arm. Right on the corner, they'd lay that mat down, they'd kneel on it, and they'd have their hands up, and they were shouting a prayer to God just so the crowds could see how spiritual they were. They were trying to impress the audience of man, not God. They missed the mark on the whole purpose of prayer. Prayer for me is a time of talking with God. My audience is my Heavenly Father. It's between me and Him. Jesus is concerned about why we pray. Who are we trying to impress? Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones speaks of reading a biography about a well-known commentator. He said, but I remember that when I was reading the biography of this commentator, I came across this interesting statement. The biographer, who was anxious to show the saintliness of his subject, illustrated it like this. Nothing was quite so characteristic of him, he said, as the way in which when he was walking from one room to another, he would suddenly in the corridor fall down on his knees and pray. Then he would get up and go on his way again. That was, to the biographer, a proof of the saintliness and devoutness of this particular man. Well, let me say this. The man would have been a better saint if he continued to walk and pray silently. I've mentioned this before, but there's a guy on TV. That said, he actually laid over the prayer request on the floor, spread eagle, and he cried out, speaking in tongues. He said, I cried so much that ink got in the skin around my eyes and I had to have a facelift. That's in his book, Success in Life. Of course, it was Robert Tilton. Have you ever asked someone to pray at a potluck or some gathering and they just pray about everything? And you're thinking, well, Rick, that ain't bad, you know, if God's laying on your heart. Well, they'll go on for 15 minutes and it'll sound like this. And God, let this guy that gave us our white chocolate mocha here at Starbucks get saved. Oh, hallelujah. Who is the prayer to? I mean, sometimes we are so guilty of this. Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. If you're going to pray to impress others, biblically, don't expect to receive blessings and rewards from heaven. It's not going to happen. So that's the negative. That's the hypocritical part of prayer. Jesus now gives the positive in prayer. Verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I love that. Jesus was speaking here to his disciples. He said, go into your room. Well, in the first century, homes had only one room with a door. It was a storeroom where they would keep their bread. Some have taken this meaning you should pray in a closet, but that could be hazardous to your health too. if you got a lot of stuff on the top shelf. Now, this is very important. I want you to notice prayer is to the Father. It's not to Jesus. It's not to Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 6:9, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. John 16:23, Jesus said, in that day, what day? When he would ascend to heaven, Acts chapter 1, and he would become the intercessor for the church because the Holy Spirit was sent in Acts chapter 2 that founded the church. and that he's been our intercessor sitting at the right hand of the Father ever since then for 2,000 years. He said, in that day, you will ask me nothing. I'm not with you. You will ask me nothing. Most surely I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he, the Father, will give it to you. Remember, he's our intercessor. So when I'm praying to the Father and I close my prayer in Jesus' name, Jesus, being the intercessor, is telling Dad, you know what? This one's good. Grant that request to him. There are those who become disillusioned in prayer. They don't see answers. But maybe it's because you're out of God's will. That can hinder prayers. Who sees in secret means you're not announcing this to others. You're not broadcasting it on a TV channel or letting them know you're spending time with God, because God knows. Now, there are three things we need to remember when we pray. Number one, there could be distractions. How many times have you sat down to pray some specific you're going to pray, and you're thinking of In-N-Outs because it's almost lunchtime, right? It's crazy. You know, I'm talking about the need to get away. Forget about being around people. You're not there for a show. It's just you and the Father. Just you and the Father. Secondly, realize you're coming into God's presence. How many times do we really realize it? I mean, I'll find myself just quickly just shooting a prayer up, and I'm not really even concentrating on the fact I am now stepping into the throne room of God because of Jesus Christ and my relationship with Christ. The God of love, the God of power. I mean, Hebrews calls it the all-consuming fire. The creator of the universe. Third, God wants us to communicate with him. His desire is to have an intimate time with us. I mean, he already knows what our request is. He's God, right? But he wants to be glorified should he grant our request to us. If he gives it to us, that's when we say, oh man, thanks God. You're an awesome God. We praise your name, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. A major hindrance to answered prayer, number one, is sin. Number two is disobedience, which is also sin. It will choke out any relationship we could have with the Father. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. There it is. Jesus said, and your Father who sees in secret, notice that, he will reward you openly. Everybody's going to see you get rewarded. Everybody will. Dr. R.A. Torrey said, I was brought up to pray. I was taught to pray so early in life that I have not the slightest recollection of who taught me to pray. Nevertheless, prayer was largely a mere matter of form. There was little real thought of God and no real approach to God, and even after I was converted, when he got saved. Yes, even after I had entered the ministry, prayer was largely a matter of form. But the day came when I realized what real prayer meant. Realized that praying was having an audience with God, actually coming into the presence of God and asking and getting things from him. And the realization of that transformed my prayer life. Before that, prayer had been a mere duty, sometimes a very irksome duty. But from that time on, prayer has been not merely a duty, but a privilege, one of the most highly esteemed privileges of life. Before that, the thought that I had was, how much time must I spend in prayer? The thought that now possesses me, how much time may I spend in prayer without neglecting the other privileges and duties of life? Secondly, the prayer is not to be mechanical. Pagans and non-believers. Religion. Verse 7. Jesus said, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, the pagans, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. It's interesting, that word vain from the original Greek Aramaic New Testament, it means useless babblings, stammering, mindless chatter. The RSV says this in verse 7, "And in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Do not heap up empty phrases, torrent of mechanical and mindless words. You know what Jesus is teaching here? Are you ready for this? He's teaching against using words and phrases over and over and over again, being repetitious, which would include anything that would be recited or repeated over and over again in a religious way. Wow, that's pretty heavy. He says, "For they think that they will be heard for their many words." We see this in 1 Kings 18, when Elijah told the people, "Man, when are you guys going to make a decision, either serve God or keep serving Baal? If God is God, serve him." Elijah called for the 400 prophets of Baal. They're in the Valley of Megiddo. We stood there on Mount Carmel, and I could just picture this thing happening. And those 450 prophets, Elijah told them, "Look, man, you go ahead and set up your altar. You cry out to Baal. Whoever answers by fire, he is God." Man, these 450 prophets of Baal, from morning till noon, they're crying, "Oh, Baal, answer us." They start cutting themselves. Satanic. People that cut themselves, that's satanic. And you know what? The people didn't even pay attention to him. Elijah went through the whole nine yards, man. He put the sacrifice on the wood. He dug a ditch around it, filled the ditch with water. The water covered the wood, the sacrifice, everything. He cried out to God, and the fire of God fell and completely consumed the wood, the sacrifice, the water, the dirt, everything. And the people got on their face and said, "The Lord, he is God." Crying out, praying. In Acts 19, for 2 hours, the people cried, "Great is our Nemeus of the Ephesians. Diana of the Ephesians." What I'm trying to teach is, according to the scriptures, there's no secret words. There's no formulas. You just come before the Father and you lay your heart down, man, and you pray what's on your heart. In Luke 23, verse 42, the thief on the cross said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's it. In Matthew 14, 30, when Peter was walking on the water, he started sinking. He cried out, "Lord, save me." 3 words. He was saved. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16 clearly tells us, "Seeing then that we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace," I love it, "that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In other words, in our prayer time, God wants our heart. Let me finish with verse 8. "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need before you even ask him." Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites, the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Don't be like those wanting to please others, the pagans and non-believers. I want to finish with these three things. God, number one, is not ignorant. So we don't need to instruct him. You don't have to pour out all the details of the prayer. He's not ignorant. He knows what's going on. Secondly, God is not hesitant. So we don't have to try to persuade him somehow. "God, if you do this, I promise I won't sin for the next 5 minutes. I promise, God, not even a dirty thought." Amazing. He's not hesitant. Do you know that God is chomping at the bit to answer our prayers, as long as they're according to His will, His purpose, and His plan for us in this life, where He'll be glorified. Third and lastly, God loves us. We are His sons and daughters. That makes Him our Father. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good things to your kids, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who's 100% pure and holy, give to you that ask Him? That's how to pray. Father, we come before You and we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the things You continue to instruct us in. And God, I just ask that You would bless this teaching for those who will be listening to it and hearing it. God, teach them, as Jesus taught us here, how to pray, the correct way to pray. And Father, we thank You. Move mightily through our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.